Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. It's been reported that brain tumours kill more children and adults under the age of 40 than any other cancer. Now, we've heard about brain tumours, but what exactly are they and how serious are they? Clearly, in some cases, fatal. But to tell me more is Hugh Adams, and he's the head of stakeholder relations from the charity Brain Tumour Research, and he joins me on the line now. Good evening, Hugh.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you very much for joining me this evening. First of all, Hugh, tell me about Brain Tumour Research, your organisation, and your mission.
Yes, yeah, so Brain Tumour Research is a charity I've worked for 12 years, in fact, and our mission is very simple. It's to find a cure for brain tumours. Now, brain tumours are the biggest cancer killer of children and adults under the age of 40, so clearly we need to do something about that, and that comes through investing in research, in early stage research, in discovery science that underpins all medical innovation, and it also it involves campaigning to get the government involved in supporting that research. So that's really what brain tumour research is about. It's about improving the stark statistics surrounding brain tumours.
How many types of brain tumours are there, Hugh?
Well, currently there are in excess of 120 different types.
Good Lord.
It's a very complex disease, and some are very fast and very malignant and, extremely difficult to treat. Some are what you might call a ticking time bomb and can grow over time and be considered, low grade to begin with. But they're all significant, and one of the most significant things about them, of course, is the fact to deal with them involves complex interactions within the skull cavity. So surgery, chemotherapy, radiotherapy are inherently more difficult within the brain tumour area.
Mm. From your research, though, what have you learned about the cause of them?
Well, that's one of the things, Clive, that we don't know enough about is the cause. So with some areas of cancer, we can say, if you smoke, for example, or if your diet is poor, or if you don't exercise enough, or all sorts of things, we can sort of say that may have an impact on whether you are diagnosed with a certain type of cancer. Now, with brain tumours, we just don't know that. We just don't know what causes them. And if we don't know what causes them, then how can we know how to cure them?
Mm.
It's a really interesting area because they are so indiscriminate. And that's why some of the statistics, as I've already mentioned, show that they are affecting younger people.
And I assume it can be anywhere in the brain. It isn't a particular, or do they tend to sort of, congregate to a particular sort of, area of the brain?
No, they're all over the brain and or can occur in different parts of the brain, So some on the surface, some are easily accessible by surgery, some are inoperable. And if you think about that means that the surgeon just cannot get to them because to actually try and operate in that area means that it would cause too much impairment to the patient. So hugely complex. In a way that if you imagine just how intricate and sophisticated the brain is, then the brain tumours operate in the same sort of way.
What happens, though, should somebody have a tumour that's undiagnosed and that they're unaware of? And as you've said, some of them are a ticking time bomb. Does that present behavioural traits in that individual? And, let's say I worked alongside somebody that had one. What sort of things would I notice that would cause me to sort of, start and question their behaviour?
That's a really difficult question for me to answer, Clive, because, as I said before, every case is individual. There are 120 different types, and there are no rule books really around brain tumours. So there are sometimes behavioural difficulties that people may observe, but it may not be anything to do with having a brain tumour.
Mm.
So unfortunately, too often, brain tumours are diagnosed by people having a fit. And then being diagnosed or ending up in A&E and then being diagnosed through that. But in terms of someone observing someone and saying, I think they may have a brain tumour, I wouldn't suggest that would be a normal pathway to a diagnosis.
But as you say, I mean, it can present all sorts of symptoms. So, you know, not excluding and not limiting to, as you say, for example, somebody having a seizure, perhaps somebody suddenly loses one of their senses, for example, maybe loss of sight or something. And then that opens up a catalogue of questions, I guess.
Well, it could be. And also some of it is much slower than that. So we do hear, sadly, cases of misdiagnosis or people going in and being diagnosed through their opticians. There are people whose first signs are perhaps a visual disturbance or dizziness or all types of things. I mean, there is no one-size-fits-all with this uniquely complex disease.
And then it makes it difficult, as you say, to diagnose and you know, and progress on. Now, there are some treatments, as you said, clearly some tumours are not accessible and therefore they become inoperable. But talk me through some of the treatments that are available.
Well, really, we're in the same field as other cancer sites here with this, Clive. You know, it's surgery, if that's possible, radiotherapy, if that's appropriate, or chemotherapy, again, if that could be seen as the best therapy. All of them are, I think, particularly difficult for brain tumour patients, particularly surgery, where you can't be radical, you can't go in and operate and take out the area around the tumour. You must only take out the tumour site, as opposed to in other areas where you might be able to take out more and understand a bit more about how the disease has progressed. Radiotherapy has to be, of course, absolutely as precise as possible, because the other areas need to be protected. And chemotherapy is a systemic treatment that can take a long time to actually get to the brain, because it has to go around the body first, causing sometimes damage. So one of the things that we're keen to progress at brain tumor research is research into novel drug delivery, so actually getting the any therapeutics to the brain directly as opposed to systemically.
And again, you know, I mean, how far are you down that research route?
Well, what we do know is that we have to start at the building block, and that's the discovery science, to get stuff from the scientist bench to the patient's bedside. So we're working at that discovery end, and we're starting to see some really encouraging results around blood biopsies and neural cell understanding that will then take us through to clinical trial and then through, hopefully, to the patient. So it's a long route. The quicker access to improvements for patients, I think, may be through new drug delivery, as I previously mentioned, and also through repurposing drugs.
Should a tumour be, you know, successfully removed, and as you just said, you can only remove that area for obvious reasons, what are the chances of it recurring?
That's a case-by-case thing, Clive. I can't really say to you, well, you know, in this case it will definitely return, or very unlikely to. That's a real case-by-case thing, and that's why, you know, each case is unique, and each case needs the clinical team to feed back to the patient about the likelihoods and the possibilities there.
Do you think there are enough support services available, generally?
For brain tumour patients? I think there are opportunities there for people to talk to people. I think social media has helped a lot with that. I think that, you know, through brain tumour research, you can talk to people that are partner charities who are able to offer that sort of support. So I think it is, but I think it is still a rarer and less common cancer. So I think people need to be able to research themselves to find out, you know, where the opportunities to talk to other people are. And I think that at brain tumour research, we're able to offer support through perhaps slightly different areas about, you know, sharing your stories. Campaigning is one of the big things we're about. You know, we need to get the government involved here to fund better research, and also finding out what we're up to in terms of our research program. So, you know, but patient involvement is key to what we're doing. I think in any time you look at as a cancer charity, as a research funding charity, any time we put together a sort of a hierarchy, the patient is always at the top.
Absolutely. How have the government responded to you so far with this?
Well, I mean, we have an all-party parliamentary group that met this week that is chaired by Derek Thomas, who's the MP for St Ives and the Scilly Isles. We provide the secretariat for that. It was a fantastic meeting this week. We were very pleased to have Tom Parker, the singer from The Wanted, join us and talk about his own brain tumour diagnosis. And I think that the government is starting to understand that actually people are concerned. People want to engage and make a difference, and you know, together we can move things forward. And historically, charities have underpinned the research funding far too much. It's time for the government to step up. And earlier this year, we were able to get our report into the hands of the Prime Minister. So we have friends in high places. We've just got to now make sure that we're asking the right questions and diverting the money in the right direction.
Other than the financial support, which, as you've just demonstrated, is desperately needed, what other things do you think the government could do for you?
Well, I think they can look at changing the infrastructure around getting money into scientific research. I think, you know, we have to look at what's happened with the vaccine and say, look, you know, we prioritised, we put money into it, we changed some of the infrastructure, so rather than working in a linear fashion, if things were progressing in tandem. Now, if we could do that and apply that sense of urgency and that new innovative thinking into brain tumours, then what could we do in a year, 2 years? You know, because we haven't really moved the dial for brain tumour patients in a generation, and that's not acceptable. So we can do more. We just need to employ that new way of thinking.
Now, as a charity, you have to raise funds to operate. How do you go about doing that?
Well, we tell stories, we appear on the media, so obviously that's why I'm very happy to be talking to you this evening, Clive. And we have fundraising campaigns, and, you know, we have our signature, if you like, our most well-known campaign has always been Wear a Hat Day, which we are expanding out to be Wear a Hat Day, which is in spring, Wear a Hat Day with Flowers, which is in summer, and then Wear a Christmas Hat Day, which is next Friday. So, you know, we encourage people to get involved in visual campaigns that are easy to support and just sort of say, you know, I'm part of the brain tumour community and I want to make a difference.
So get sponsored to wear a Christmas hat at work or wherever and then do that in aid of brain tumour research.
With something like this, Clive, we're not too prescriptive and say you've got to do it this way or that way. Whatever you want to do, wear a Christmas hat, take some photos, pop it on social media, and remember why we're doing what we're doing is to raise awareness and raise money to fund research into the, you know, it's the biggest cancer killer of children and adults under the age of 40.
Yeah, I find that extraordinary, I have to say. What sort of events and campaigns have you run in the past, Hugh?
Well, I mean, campaigns can be sort of fundraising campaigns, or they can be sort of, if you like, political campaigns. So, as I say, Wear a Hat Day is our main fundraising campaign, but we do campaigns around, you know, doing star jumps and obviously, you know, raising money at marathons and all different types of ways that people... Walks of Hope is one of our most popular ones. And then our political campaigning is around signing petitions, getting your MP to tweet their support, getting your MP to be advocates for our research reports. You know, there's a lot of different things that, you know, in terms of being a brain tumour supporter or activist, it's fundraising, it's awareness raising, and it's campaigning. And all of those things can be covered off. And that's why, Clive, it's all on our website at braintumourresearch.org.
And that's how we can get involved, I guess.
That's where you can find out what we're up to. All the social media platforms too. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Brain Tumour Research.
Hugh Adams, Head of Stakeholder Relations at the charity Brain Tumour Research. Thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.